When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
There are so many reasons to check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let's go through a ton of them. Works on all operating systems and devices, even your router. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Add extra layers of digital security to your life with the Password Manager, the File Encryption Tool, the Threat Protection Pro. It's the fastest VPN in the world. They've got a global server network, 24/7 tech support. And if you're a wrestling fan, oh man, are you in for it? All of the programs that WWE runs, you can watch with one Netflix account with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. This service pays for itself in the money that you are going to save. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's April 30th, 2025. This is where the hump usually would be, but instead I upgraded and got an Emmy award winning, degree having journalist.
Not from Syracuse. Let's make that very clear.
Thank God for that. Because first off, one, I will never forget the city of Syracuse for what they did to Shawn Michaels, those thugs beating up Shawn Michaels in 1995 and giving him post-concussion syndrome, but also getting that ass whipped just a few months later by the Kentucky Wildcats. I'm just saying. Guys, leave a thumbs up. Tap that bell for notifications. All that good stuff. I don't even know if I said his name, but it's John Alba, by the way, that is here.
What's up?
You can see him on his show, The Extreme Life with Matt Hardy, as well as SNY. We're here to answer your questions, by God. John agreed to do this about 10 minutes ago. listen, I know my friend Dave Cost will enjoy this because he sent in a bunch of super chats, Humper chats. And I said, is there anything you want me to promote? And he was like, I just want you to promote John Alba because he does great work and he has a great Patreon as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com. We do Q&As. We do super cool tape studies where we break matches down move for move and really get in the weeds of that. And it's awesome. Dave's the best. He's awesome. And I know he's been a longtime Fightful supporter as well. So shout out to Dave for that. And yeah, you didn't ask me, to be honest. I told you I was coming on this with you.
Pretty much. So pretty much.
I'm like, huh, there's an invoice.
And right out of the gate, Dave Cost, listen, helping us out immensely. Again, guys, the by and large, we don't make money from clickety clacks as people think. We make it from direct to consumer and occasional sponsors. So your super chats, your humper chats basically deem how long we will be around. But let's go ahead and get to our dude Dave, who is saying, love seeing both my guys. SummerSlam is very affordable for the two night, thank God. Coming from that world, this was very smart business to set the precedent for the first two night SummerSlam being gettable. Vegas may have broke the price dam. So this was the thumbnail topic that I know that Jimmy would have loved to have spoken about, but said you and I are, and we are in a little bit of a different situation because we are always generally approved for media. Now, I just want to say we are very glad that we're approved as media, but listen, we're up there watching with Jesus and Moses and we're up there with Sting. Like
these aren't courtside seats.
These are not good seats. And all due respect, like, listen, we've got power. We've got sometimes screens if we're lucky.
Sometimes Wi-Fi,
but by and large, these are seats that are intended to view football games on a 120-yard surface field, including the end zone, instead of a 20-by-20 ring. So our approach and our experience with this is a little bit different. When you saw the Andrew Baidala report, which he has great ends with On Location, and he is aware of what they're willing to sell those for, what was going through your mind when you saw that like $40,000 price tag?
Two thoughts. Number one, just absolute absurdity that this exists. But the second thought was, I can't believe there are people who pay for this. And there are. There are people who pay for it. And for as corporate as you can argue that WWE has gotten in the last 2 years, and it certainly has, especially the last calendar year, the reality is, from a business standpoint, strictly from a business standpoint, Sean Ross Sapp, I don't want to get our show sunset here, but strictly from that standpoint, if people are willing to pay it, then it exists for a reason. And that's pretty much the way you react to that. But I do want to piggyback off what Dave said there, where he said, you know, they're largely affordable. It's funny because I've seen a lot of discourse today over that line that Drew used. And I think the upper decks were like around $200 or so when you get the fees. It's like, is that largely affordable? Is that affordable by 2025 standards? Like, what's your barometer for what affordable is? Because 10 years ago, Sean, you could get that same ticket for $35, and now it's $200.
And granted, we're gonna see inflation naturally, but this is like way, 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 way up. And one of the things, I was very flattered. It was way more flattering than the website indicates, but awfulannouncing.com covered some tips I had that where people said, what would you do to fix AEW last year? And I said, I would go to smaller, more intimate venues. They have. I said, I would consolidate some titles. They did briefly before expanding, but FTW title is gone. And I said, I would make the tickets so affordable that reasonably a family couldn't look at the show and go, we're not going to that. You know what I mean? Now, they don't have to do that as much, considering that they are going to more intimate venues. And tonight's Dynamite in, I believe it's somewhere in Virginia, is like the ticket sales are up a good like 8-9% over their last visit there, which is very, very promising. But they have started to work into their branding and their marketing. This is how affordable you can get these tickets, which is absolutely something they should be doing.
I spoke to several people in AEW in the last month about this very topic, and they really are feeling very rejuvenated right now about this adjusted strategy to live events. And I think, more than anything, it's reflected in the quality of the product, because when you have a more intimate crowd, they're going to be hotter, they're going to be closer to the action, and that makes the TV product look better. But they are pushing tickets more consistently, and they're a lot better in the last couple of months with their ground game with local media too. And that's something that TNA has done really, really well to sell a lot of their shows in the last calendar year. So I think that definitely is something that's very appealing about AEW shows right now, is just how affordable it is. But on the WWE front, Sean, it's like, I don't know if you got the same feeling that I did, but when I watched WrestleMania and a lot of the Raws I've watched since the Netflix jump, and the WWE has always felt like a very polished product, but it just feels almost superficially polished, where there's just ad read after ad read after ad read. And even more so than a pro sports game, it feels like it's from a TV standpoint.
One of the, like you know, when you interview somebody and like a light bulb goes off. I did an interview with Eric Bischoff before he got rehired by WWE. And this was 6 years ago, keep in mind.
Yeah, I interviewed him a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times. Then that was sunsetted. But then, even then, I was like, what would you change? And he was like, it's too polished, because it feels like there isn't any spontaneity. Now, they've gotten better with that, where it does feel like it can be a little bit more spontaneous without the very superficial, like, zoom, cut, shake, zoom, cut, shake, where any cameraman would lose their job doing that kind of work. They have done that, but it is, like, overboard. Now, listen, I've got no problem with having stuff on the mats and stuff like that.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
This shirt would be painted up like a NASCAR if any sponsors would hit me up. Like, by all means, like, do that. But if it disrupts the flow of the show and what it is that you're actually watching, man, that can that brings things to a screeching halt. I'm interested in your thoughts because, listen, you do a show with Matt Hardy. Mm-hmm. TNA had a bit of a ticket controversy this week because they mentioned being sold out. Some people said, I was still able to get tickets there. Then there were some empty sections. Why do you think Matt Hardy didn't personally sell each one of those tickets outside the venue?
I have to tell you a story about that off air afterwards because there's, okay, there's a pretty good story related.
I mean, he, if you want to talk about top ticket movers, it is him and Jeff by all means.
Oh my God. I mean, for anyone who wants to sit there and say, oh, the Hardys aren't over, blah, blah. I mean, the Hardys have drastically aided the ticket trajectory of TNA in the last year. And what goes unreported, Sean, is, and I'm not just saying this as Matt's friend, they do these meet and greets after the show, typically with Joe Hendry, where they've had to cut off how many they're selling because these meet and greets are going so late.
Yeah.
It's astonishing. And you saw it firsthand.
To like 2 or 3 in the morning sometimes.
Oh, yes. Like that late. And you see it at the conventions too, where right now, two of the biggest acts at the convention circuit are the Hardys and Joe Hendry. So yeah, that grassroots approach is one of the biggest reasons that TNA is doing fairly well with their live events right now.
We've got Matt Hamm saying, when is the WWE draft? I haven't heard yet. I've been asking an awful lot. I did tell WWE, oh, do you want me to come read out one of the selections like Seth Rollins and Jimmy Uso? I think they're going to pass on that one. I think they're going to pass on that.
What Eric call Shayna Baszler on air a couple of years ago? Remember that
what
one?
What was it?
It was like Shane. It was basically the Adele Azeem, yes, of the WWE draft. It was so bad.
Any Wardlow or Eddie Kingston updates? Well, Eddie tore his knee up really, really, and leg up really bad like 11 months ago. I know he's been rehabbing and stuff, but I haven't heard of a timetable. But it's hard for me, anytime anybody is sidelined with an ACL, it's hard for me to expect anything under a year, despite the fact, and I always say this, John, I know you've seen it a lot too, when these people tear their ACLs, people expect them to be on a wheelchair for 10 months. No, you're up and doing bands in a couple months, and then they post the rehab video and everybody goes, oh, they're ahead of schedule.
They're back. They're look, ready. Look,
they're back, baby. Poor Charlotte, man. She tore like everything in her knee, did some bands, and everybody by WrestleMania.
Hell, I know you covered this briefly on Fightful Select. It's like the Asuka thing where Asuka destroyed her leg too. It's like they were potentially planning her for a WrestleMania match. It's like,
yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
I got more on that coming to FightfulSelect.com this week. And if you all like this Q&A format, definitely check out FightfulSelect.com. But Wardlow, he had a knee injury last year. He had a car accident, and he's been working on some film and TV projects as well.
Can I ask you, what do you think Wardlow's value is in wrestling right now? Because turn the clock back 3 years, you're like, this guy's going to be top Batista-style guy, right? And now, just with the inconsistencies in his presence on TV, when his contract comes up, it almost makes you wonder what his value is. Because once upon a time, you'd be like, oh, he's definitely going to WWE if he comes a free
agent.
I'm not so sure that that's the best avenue for him right now.
He has had 20 matches on AEW TV, or maybe less than that, like 18, 19 on AEW TV since the start of 2023.
Wow.
That is not enough. That being said, I think his last one was a world title match against Samoa Joe where he lost. But before that, he was just winning nonstop. And a lot of people still look back and they remember him crushing MJF. Mm-hmm.
I love Wardlow, for the record. I think he's like, I think he's like the James Bond of pro wrestling, and he's awesome.
Yes.
But I don't know. I just was curious on what you thought his ceiling might be with the inconsistencies and in how he's been presented on TV.
Where do you see Tekla and Miyu Yamashita going next? Well, Miyu is going to be at AEW tonight. She seems to be doing very well working the independent scene. I mean, she is booked and flown all over the place. I think Tekla is probably AEW bound. WWE, I'll have an update on FightfulSelect.com today. But yeah, that's pretty well what I expect. Any thoughts there, John?
No, I think that's just using process of elimination and context clues. It probably lends itself to that.
Yeah. What do you see Megan Bain's AEW trajectory being? Well, I think she's going to be a champion. I think they brought her back in the right way. They made her an immediate threat. If she would have become champion, I would have been okay with that. But any thoughts on her trajectory?
Yeah, Megan Bain, it's pretty amazing. If you've never seen her in person, her presence just grabs you. It's remarkable how much presence she actually has. I would not have hated if she was the type of person that they immediately injected into one of the championship scenes and had her win. I think that would have been a very impactful way. I wouldn't have even hated if she had crushed Toni Storm and pulled off that upset. And then you told the story of Toni Storm having to win it back right after that, where she got beat. You know, she had her Ivan Drago moment and she has to learn how to overcome that. I don't think that would have been the worst story in the world to tell. But I also understand Toni Storm's equity and where they're likely headed with her for All In. So maybe after All In, we start to see one of those belts find their way to Megan Bain. But I definitely would make sure that by the end of this calendar year, she's had at least one title run of one of those women's championships in AEW.
Quick plug for you guys. We are on TikTok. I'm working on landing these streams on there as well. So follow us at Fightful.com on TikTok. We have just agreed to a deal with them. We're also expanding our Facebook and Instagram. So check us out over there. We have some different content over there. If Stefa Kerr and Julia are being called up, is it a good idea that Jordan, or is it a good guess that Jordan Grace might win the NXT title next month? I don't like them calling people up to just do random matches before they have any creative and before they've lost the NXT title. It telegraphs it. It puts them in a weird position. Roxanne should have been up months ago, John.
And also, like, they've shown, I'm just calling, it is what it is, right? They've shown that even when there is a plan, they're not afraid to step away from said plan. Like, I don't think it takes having a rocket science degree to know that Bayley was supposed to face Roxanne Perez at WrestleMania.
There you go.
And they call her up. They give her a featured spot in the Elimination Chamber. It produces nothing. And then you're having to pivot on plans as a result of that. We can't use the term pivot. My bad. But I agree with you 100%, especially when they are women with the equity of Julia and Steph Fakir, who clearly have an enormously high ceiling in WWE. So coming up with no plan or a limited plan or a short-sighted plan doesn't typically do these people well. As far as Jordan Grace, I think that's logical. Jordan Grace, Sean, is someone that I would have had on the main roster before even either of those two. With no disrespect to either of them, I think they're still just acquiescing to the WWE system a little more.
I mean, the new find the cameras is getting a studio apartment in Orlando. Like, that's the new requirement. Like, the fact that they got Jordan Grace in NXT, like, maybe it's because they wanted to add some juice to NXT or something, but I would be much more intrigued with Jordan Grace immediately on the main roster and her being somebody that a Becky Lynch could face and is a fresh matchup for everybody. And I say like that because, again, Julia, she'll fit on the main roster just fine. Roxanne would have fit. Roxanne could have went straight to the main roster too. She's been on on TV her whole adult life, but this run was very good for her. Stephanie is one I would have left in NXT for a while because, one, she's your champion who just had to vacate another title and effectively reset that. And if you bring up all three of them, you need to have some ring generals in NXT to work with some of the younger talent and the less experienced talent. Now, you do have that with Jordan Grace and Zarya to a bit of a degree because she came from the Indies and a couple others. But, like, there's an awful lot of performance center manufactured talent there that wrestles in a very similar way that I hope that it expands a little bit as a result. But listen, as much as I say I wouldn't mind Jordan Grace winning the title, I also kind of just would rather her be in the main roster than Steph at this point.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, there's also a really unique opportunity if you want to. I know she's a babyface, but very seldom can you ever bring someone up as someone's heavy on the women's side in WWE, and her as an authoritative physical figure in someone's corner, I think would be a great trajectory to eventually turning her babyface down the line on the main roster. It's a unique opportunity that exists right now, but it doesn't appear that's going to be the route.
We have a couple from Ibumania 14 says, I pray we receive clarity on Mariah May soon because all these different reports are too much for F's sake. And then he says, Mariah May laid us. So I can walk you guys through the timeline as I know it. About 3 weeks prior to me reporting it, Andrew Baydala actually gave me the heads up on this story. And when he heard it, he was like, yeah, they think she's going to WWE. Now, what I have been able to confirm is that her deal is up at some point this year, likely towards the summer. Her own words are she was under contract by All In 2023. I know that some people have claimed like a November expiration. It'd be very unusual to have like a 2-year, 3-month contract or something, but anything is possible. There are people in AEW that definitely expect her to go there, but there's also been a lot of misinformation. There were people that hit me up and said, oh, well, she is on internal incoming lists in WWE. And people I talked to said, that is not a list that exists. And the mere fact that Jeff Cobb was already on our internal roster was a rarity. So that isn't true. She's not on any WWE document saying she's coming in or anything like that. She's still under contract. She has not been on TV. I cannot confirm if she informed AEW that she wouldn't be re-signing. And again, I have watched situations unfold even over this past week where people will take things and run with it. I don't know if she informed AEW she wasn't re-signing, or maybe not for the amount they offered. That is only speculation here at this point. If I were her, I would wait until I was contractually eligible to speak to other places and then leverage, or you get a too good to be true offer. But I think it's certainly possible she goes to WWE. But any thoughts on that one, John?
Yeah, I think it was Abu who had reported, correct, that she essentially told them after the Hollywood ending match that she was gone. So it's a real, and I'm not disputing his report. He may very well be right on that, but it would be a very strange leverage play from her to do that without hitting the open market and putting the two entities against one another, where you know she's going to get a big money offer from both of them. You have to be out of your mind not to see that Mariah May has the it factor, and she came into an organization as a relatively unknown. They gave her an unconventional build, and it produced someone who has superstar qualities. So how she plays that, I think she has a lot of leverage and she has the cards in her favor, but she does have to play those cards right. So where that ends up, I don't know. I think logic tells you she might end up in WWE. And I'm curious, Sean, if that does happen, does that change Tony Khan's approach to contracts? To
I couldn't believe she had a 2-year deal. Couldn't believe it. Yeah. But more talent should do that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
More talent. When going into a company, more talent should absolutely do shorter deals.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to see proof in the pudding that they're willing to give you enough equity and enough investment in order to reach a certain level.
And I mean, for those talent, they got to know that they're going to be used right, that they'll have that confidence. But there's a whole lot of talent that are just like, oh, finally, a deal. So let me just sign it for 5 years. That doesn't always work well.
No, and there's a really interesting creative scenario too with her, right, Sean, where she was involved in this super in-depth story. And it's like, if she did go back to AEW, what's the next move for her? Because that's a problem we've seen with a lot of AEW talent, where they get this great story and they're in it for a long time, and then it's they win the title and then what's next? Or they lose the title and what's next? And I think that's a valid question that she has to ask too of a potential creative situation.
Dave Koss says, let's talk about how Rollins Heyman faction story needs to go 10 years before we get Braun Seth at Mania. Nothing wrong with a solid fleshed out 1-year story, internet. Everyone calm down. So I saw people saying, oh, is Sami Rollins going to be the match at Mania? I was like, y'all think they're building like right now? You think for the thing they're setting up right now? I don't think so.
Mania 50, baby.
Yeah, I think that it is going to be Braun Breaker and Rollins at Mania next year. And I see so many people say, too soon, too soon. I reviewed the Bloodline shows. I've reviewed the Judgment Day shows. I reviewed every Jericho stable that has ever existed at this stage. Like, I don't know what about the last number of years makes people think that a long 2-3 year faction is a good idea. But I hate to remind you guys, Roman wasn't around for a significant portion of that 3 to 4 years. Like, he was chilling at home for a lot of that. He wasn't on TV every week. To me, a one-year story is perfect. And I don't want Braun Breaker playing second banana for over a year. Right. I was ready for him to move up to the world heavyweight title now.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought before the Heyman angle that he was like a shoo-in to be Money in the Bank winner and maybe even be champion as soon as SummerSlam. But I think they're going to wait a little bit on that. He still could win Money in the Bank and have him in the background of Rollins for a while. The Bloodline storyline is one of the most successful storylines in pro wrestling history, in WWE history. No questions asked on its importance. With that said, I think it broke some wrestling fans' brains, Sean, because it made them think that this is the only way you can do long-form storytelling, is drawing it out over a bunch of years and having all these aura moments. It doesn't need to be that way. Keep in mind, we're only a few years removed from where Vince McMahon would give up on a story 3 weeks in, and it would never happen. We were craving those long-term stories. A year-long story under those circumstances sounds pretty great. So I'm with you 100%, and you don't want to let him toil too long. If people draw the comparisons to Evolution, it was very different, where I don't think Batista or Randy Orton were at that level where Braun Breaker currently is upon
that. There's a year and a half. Right. Barely a year and a half.
Right. So I don't think they were really there yet, where I've said this on social media. I think Braun Breaker, and I mean this genuinely, like in the context of Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, all them, I think Braun Breaker is the most explosive athlete in WWE history to come into the promotion at a young age. And I think his presence is just unbelievable. And working with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins will help round out some of the edges that need to be smoothened over just a little bit. And that's not going to be a 2-3 year project. That's going to be something that, like you said, within a year, I think we'll see the fruits of the labor of that. And he'll be a big time baby face coming out of it too.
Jared says, feels like getting plane tickets, flying to Mexico, getting a hotel, buying tickets to Grand Slam is cheaper than just one SummerSlam ticket. I don't know about all that. Listen, I don't know the price of hotels in Mexico. I've never been. Really? I don't think I'm... What is it?
Really? No.
Have you never been?
I went to Cancun in February, and it was delightful.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure you drink tap water just to try to prove to someone that you're built differently.
Yeah, I would. I would, actually. Then I'd do a drug test on Twitter and it would fail as a result of that.
Playful.com/Pepto-Bismol.
I mean, you know what? That's not a very safe bet, but I will give you a safe bet.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Our wonderful partners at BetOnline.ag. We are 25 for 25 in lock picks over at FightfulSelect.com since this partnership started. And BetOnline's pretty chill about it. Pretty chill about us costing them money while they sponsor our show. So we thank BetOnline. Dave Cost says, do you find it strange that we have 3.5 weeks till Double or Nothing and we'll know who the Owen finals matches are after tonight? Feels like a bit of a misstep. Well, we did have a FightfulSelect.com report today that indicated that the all-in main event and title matches are being kept pretty quiet. Now, we don't know if that is due to them not knowing their direction or if they're just keeping it quiet, but no, I'm okay with that. After tonight, we'll have 3 weeks of additional build. We'll have a video package one of those weeks, I'm sure. We'll have some interaction there. I think 3 weeks is appropriate to kind of to tie that up, John. But how do you feel?
Well, there's no stories in AEW, haven't you heard, Sean? So I don't know why we're spending 3.5 weeks building stories.
It's a waste of time. Waste of time. But yeah, I don't know if it's a I don't think it's a misstep.
No, I don't think so at all.
Will Chisholm says, is it me or when Io went to Japan last year, WWE was like, oh, we got the best wrestler in the world. The way they book her now, happy for her. I've been saying all year, I think she's the most consistent in-ring wrestler that WWE has. I don't see her have bad matches. Maybe I'd have to really think on that, but I honestly think that they should be looking at a lot of the things like that, what Natalya is doing and getting over, and what
Omos. Carrying,
what Omos going to Japan and doing his best in-ring work over there. And then one might say he's been benched, John. Yeah. Karrion Kross, who got over with less than a minute every week. I would imagine that a lot of these things show people, but I mean, I think especially since the beginning of February, Io's in-ring has just been fantastic.
She's been one of WWE's most consistent performers, period, over the last calendar year. And, you know, she's someone that greatly benefited from Vince exiting, because I don't think she'd be in the position she's in right now, maybe even with the company at all, if Vince was still there. To Paul Levesque's credit, he's been fairly consistent in how he's positioned Io Sky. And I do agree with the super chat that I think she has been positioned even more importantly. And I kind of like that. I didn't love the build to the triple threat match at WrestleMania, but I did enjoy the element of it that was like, hey, Io Sky constantly gets overlooked. And the story of the match was, well, now she's no longer going to be overlooked because she beat two behemoths. I thought that aided her very, very well.
Thomas says, what can WWE and AEW do to avoid benching people? What is your definition of benching in wrestling if you have one? I've seen a lot of discussion regarding people's definition of benching today. What do you consider it, John?
Creative doesn't have something for them. They're waiting on something for creative. I think they're just, they're cognizantly not putting this person on TV for whatever the reason may be. Sometimes it's a logistical thing, like in the Dakota Kai case. I do believe they're probably waiting on the rest of Damage Control to get healthy before having her on.
But then I would argue they didn't wait on her.
Right, right. And I think there are other people in wrestling that are benched for reasons that are beyond that. I don't know if I want to throw out individual ones, but yeah, I mean, I think you can use some content.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Text clues based on some of the companies out there, and yeah.
Nia Jax was off TV for quite a while. Taken off of Mania. Omos has been chilling. And listen, I my definition largely is off TV without a reason. Like without
so you would say, you would not include my definition of it then. So you would say, even if they're just like, okay, well, we're going to wait for the people around them to be healthy. We have an idea down the line, or we don't want
to. To me, that's still benched. I mean, people act like it's put out to pasture. Benched means you're sitting on the bench. Like you can get in the game.
Wrestle Comics says private party. Private party is benched.
Yes, they're benched. Healthy. They're wrestling elsewhere. They're benched. They could be back at it.
Yeah,
they could come back at any time, but they're benched. What can they do to avoid benching people? Be better at creative. That's it. I'll tell you what talent need to do. Talent and agents need to start working inactivity clauses into their deals to where if there is like a 60-day period of where a talent is healthy and not used, there is a reasonable out clause in there, and they need to start doing that. Talents, and I saw people say, oh, well, then WWE will just use them 1 week before. No, listen, you think these lawyers and attorneys and agents are stupid? Come on now. Come on now. That would defeat the purpose.
And you know what? It's somewhat of a byproduct of too, Sean, the lack of live events that are happening now. Yep. You know, you're not getting nearly as many house shows, and house shows are where a lot of those types of talents would get reps. And that's not happening across wrestling very much right now.
You could make main event mean literally anything you want, right? Like that show is just, they're adding LFG and Evolve. Like, show us the two matches that happened on main event in a little ticker for 12 seconds, something to make those 5 minute matches mean something. Because listen, you could extend it to that. Natalya hasn't been on TV hardly at all outside of the occasional Maxxine Dupri segment for months. She's been on main event though, but a lot of people wouldn't know that. Do you know what kind of caliber movie Liv Morgan has been cast in? The reports claim major movie, but that's from her team out of outside of her team. So it's connected to her agency, who are not going to like downplay it or anything like that. That's where the people's jaws will drop thing. It's, I don't know what the role is. I asked, somebody had said, oh, well, I think it might be American Psycho remake, which would be a, that would honestly be really good. I could see her doing great in that, but it was claimed that wasn't it. And on Fightful Select, we reported that it's something that they say is off the radar.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mike Johnson on PW Insider had a report and what he was indicating that it was something more along the lines of kind of an outside-the-box thriller sort of thing. But there was also a big rumor, because I read the comic book trades and sites pretty much every day, and there's a rumor going around that she might be involved in the new Spider-Man movie too. So, you know, the big persistent rumor right now in the comic book world is that Gwen Stacy might be involved in the new Spider-Man movie, A Brand New Day, and she totally fits the profile of a Gwen Stacy if they want to go out. So look, happy for her. She is someone who I always thought was a good performer and played her role well, but in the last calendar year has really developed into just one of the most must-see TV performers that WWE has, and she's been great.
Dave Koss says, Dudley's and New Day calling out the Hardys online can't be nothing, can it? Would you guys be interested in those teams interacting in 2025?
New Day.
New Day? Jinx, pit poke. Yeah, listen. I don't know how I can be nice about it. The last match of D-Von's I saw was really bad. It was really bad.
D-Von ain't getting cleared by a major promotion. It's not happening.
Well, listen, he yelled at me for getting
D-Von.
That in.
I love D-Von. Listen, I love D-Von.
They yelled at me for reporting what WWE told me straight up when I said, why didn't he do anything physical at this show? And they said, well, he wasn't cleared. And then he went on his show and was like, F the dirt sheets. These guys are scumbags. Yeah, I didn't get cleared. It's like, listen, I didn't say it was for any specific reason. It just didn't happen. The clearance didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, oh, D-Von's incompetent. That's not it at all. Like, I mean,
no, absolutely not.
It's really tough health stuff, and I'm happy.
I couldn't imagine having any matches after that, let alone the three that he has.
He genuinely, Sean, he looks great right now. Like his videos have taken off. He's doing really well. I'm having him, you know, New Day and the Hardys could happen. I think that's definitely plausible.
It would require some smoke and mirrors, and that's okay. It's just, I would not go into Dudley's being involved with any of these teams with the expectations of the high ceiling that I had for some of my favorite matches of all time. Those ladder matches.
I've even said to Matt, like, I feel like sometimes the Hardy compound stuff in 2025 gets a little overplayed. But I actually think the New Day would be amazing at the Hardy compound if they did something there. That would be a lot of fun.
You know what? I think something compound related with the Dudleys would be a lot of fun. Certainly that would be
absolutely.
And they bring in, like, not just them, all the Dudleys.
Get Spike in there. Yeah.
Get Spike in there. Do that. Like, I want to see a Spike Gothic baby face off.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I would love that. Honestly, I think that would be a really, really good approach. Chris Moore says, do either of you see any of the EVPs from AEW having a legit run in WWE before they retire? Wonder if there will ever be a move as seismic to the industry as Cody's return to WWE. Well, I mean, I can tell you this. The gentleman on screen with me was a big part of me breaking two stories right back to back. And one of them that would have been probably the biggest story that I ever broke, Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out of retirement, got swallowed up by another one that John and I worked on. And I think one day John and I will probably do a full podcast on that. Yeah. It's just, I always kind of wanted to have Cody on a show to talk to him about that, because I'll give you guys a little insight of a conversation that John and I had. Because we were trying to figure out who it was. Everybody was being so quiet about an AEW. We're like, what's going on here? And there this were people that were
2022. It was like January 2022.
Yeah. And they're like, somebody messaged me and they're like, shit's about to hit the fan. Shit's about to hit. And I'm like, oh no. Oh boy, what's going to happen here? And then I messaged a source who I don't know if I've named them, so I'm not going to. I might name them in my next interview with them. But they were, I can't give away anymore. But I knew they would know what was happening. And the person said, man, I started to sweat as soon as I saw your name texting me. And I'm like, what is everybody talking about? Like, what is changing here? And is it good or is it bad? And that person said to me, it depends on who you ask. And when I mentioned that to John, John and I both went, Cody.
You remember that segment with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens when yes. they're like about to fight and they look at each other, they go, Roman Reigns. I was like, yes. That was you and I, Cody Rhodes. It was pretty yes. funny. And, yeah. And I had been hearing some stuff too and kind of put the pieces together. And that was that. Yeah. We should do a long form on that. Cause that was a truly collaborative story. That and the Austin thing was wild. I'll never forget. I hit you up. I was just like,
I came together so quick. That was so much different than like Cody that took a while. Like you told me, it was during a Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this might sound crazy, but have you heard about like, and this wasn't on anyone's radar at this point.
No.
Because like, have you heard about Austin wrestling at WrestleMania this year? And I was like, I heard it might be Kevin Owens. And then you checked with someone and they were like, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
I mean, full disclosure, I reached out to Kevin Owens.
Okay. I didn't know.
Because I had just interviewed him. He goes, sure would be crazy. And I go, I think it's going to be against you. And it was, sure would be crazy. I was like, I ain't getting shit from this guy. So then I contacted another person. They're like, how do you know about this?
Yeah.
There you go. No, I do not foresee any of the EVPs having a legit run in WWE. I don't. But do I think there will be a move as seismic? Listen, we wondered if there would be one as big as AEW forming. We wondered if there would be ones as big as, like, you know, any of the people that went to TNA from like 05 to 07, right? Like when that was a thing. AJ moving, AJ and Nakamura moving from New Japan over, Hogan to from WCW to WWE, all that. I think, yeah, there will be one as seismic, but I don't think it'll be them.
You know, it does suck that we're probably never going to see like a prime Kenny Omega versus Seth Rollins match, you know? Or the New Day versus the Young Bucks. It does suck, but I tend to agree with you. I will say if any of the EVPs do make the jump, I think it would be the Young Bucks.
Yeah. BL says, SRS, what was the scariest bump you ever took? Done any specialty matches like TLC Hardcore? Listen, I'm not a ladder specialist.
Get on
like
my level, John baby. Alba.
So, gosh, I haven't been scared by any of the bumps. Like I'm good with that stuff, but when I did catch wrestling in our gym, we would put on open houses, super illegal open houses, by the way. But it was a thing to be like, hey, everybody in the town, let me show you what we can do. We would have kickboxing, boxing, grappling, MMA demos, pro wrestling demos, all that stuff. And of course, I was usually in the pro wrestling match. We did not have a pro wrestling ring there. We trained elsewhere pro wrestling. So it was in a boxing ring.
Oh, good.
And it sucked ass.
Yeah, you could be part of the new Hogan Bischoff venture with Izzy Mania or whatever that guy's name
is. There you go. But I'd say the three worst bumps I took, we had an elevated platform by our mat area, which was zebra matted. And those have no give. It is just a thud. And it was about probably 9 feet up, and I got thrown off of that, and that sucked ass. It was so bad. Then I took on the boxing ring the gold dust spinning suplex. And normally you bounce a little bit, not in that thing, just thud. The most painful bump I ever took, and I mean this sincerely, Swoggle choke slamming me at Squared Circle Expo.
Choke slam.
And I go to the back and I'm like, why did that hurt so much? And Brian Myers was like, you threw yourself 6 feet in the air with nobody guiding you or helping you down and slammed right into the mat. And I was like, yeah, that did suck pretty bad. But yeah, I prefer specialty matches. It's a little bit more smoke and mirrors. Me and Effie did one like that. Me and Shaza did one like that. Shaza cracked me in the back of the head with a cane and I saw the flash of light. That one sucked. But yeah, I've been very fortunate to avoid any like serious injuries. But Mr. Straight Fire says, has a wrestler ever asked you about their creative plan? If so, you had rumors that were not confident enough to post on Select. Would you share it with them? I could always share what I've heard, because sharing stuff like that and then reporting it are way different things. John, I am going to send you a DM that I received a few years ago from a talent, and I won't say who it was, but John can kind of verify this. And it is hilarious and very indicative of the creative under Vince McMahon as you get this. Now, you can read the message, but don't say the name.
You want me to read the message?
Read the message. Go ahead.
The funny thing is, you sent this to me. This person was my neighbor at the time.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
What do you know about my future? Am I a heel? I figure you know more than me. Ha 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 ha. Yeah.
So I had to, what I did for that person was I hit up one of my contacts and I was like, is this person listed internally as a heel or a babyface? And ended up sharing that with them. But yeah, I mean, if they ask me, well, yeah, I'll share it with them. I don't mind that. Like that's okay. We've got Dave Cost saying the Raw women's division was so lean and now stacked after a year of Rhea, Liv going in circles. Rhea, Io, Becky, Lyra, Liv, Julia, Roxanne, Bailey, major shot in the arm for that division post-Mania. It is, but man, I want to see the SmackDown division get a little bit of a boost here. They need
a longer show.
Yes.
That's a longer show right now. So
yeah,
come on.
I definitely want to see that. WWE has been hiring plenty of talent. Is there concern with the roster getting bloated? Yeah. Yeah. Because Natalya's out there getting more buzz on Bloodsport. Karrion Kross has got to cut promos about how he's not used. Bayley's getting pulled from WrestleMania. Nia Jax is seeing that she had a WrestleMania match based on a Netflix trailer. Jade Cargill and Asuka were planned for Mania matches, but like, we're off TV for months. Yeah, there's definitely concern about bloat there.
Did you watch Bayley's interview with Van Vliet?
Yeah, I talked to Chris about it too.
That
I was like, moment, oh, how are you doing? I was like, just depressed after watching your interview.
That moment where she reveals without revealing that she's going to be pulled from WrestleMania, was that not like a kick to the gut?
Yeah, it was brutal. It was friggin' brutal, man.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. I hated it. I really wanted a Cena, Edge, or Batista segment. On what? What do you mean? I'm not sure what you mean there. But Nico says, I remember hearing a few years back, Cora Jade is going to be fast-tracked to the main roster? Do you think plans have changed with the influx of female talent? Where do you think they go with her? I think a tag team is the best route with her. The people who aren't like tip-top, like as far as like personality or in-ring, I think they should supplement the tag team division with that.
Dude.
That's what I think. But I'd never heard that there were plans for her to get called up.
Can we get some real women's tag teams in WWE?
Please. Like
actual organic tag teams that are paired together and not just random women thrown together in a tag team.
Yeah, I don't like my tag teams with GMOs, that's for sure.
like let's just get them like yeah, I know.
We do need that, but they keep breaking them up, lashing Jackson. I was like, what? I love them as a team. And again, they can sort of mask each other's like down points whenever they're learning. It's yeah. Dave Koss, first off, thank you again.
Yeah, where's thank this? Not a top.
Yeah, muted. Dave Koss says one last question. Why do you think Triple H leans into DQ so much? What are the booking pros and cons strategies to that opinion? Right now, because he can, because fans will defend anything. And listen, I watched fans defend 2017, 2018, 2019, that type of stuff. And he knows there are fans that will say, oh, that's just smart business. That's just a good business. Like, we should give a shit about anything beyond whether the show is good. Why do you think he leans into that so much?
Because he's a product of the Attitude Era. And the Attitude Era was full of so many DQ and roll-up finishes and four-minute matches. And that's the style of booking that is ingrained in him. And booking week-to-week TV, 3 hours, 2 hours, twice a week, that's what they feel. And it's a bigger issue within WWE. And AEW has struggled with this at times, too. Sometimes, Sean, you just got to be willing to beat someone. Like, if Roxanne Perez beat Rhea Ripley the other day, clean, is Rhea Ripley's value in the tube? Is she tanked because of that?
No, it just makes Roxanne look great.
Yeah.
It makes Roxanne look like she exploited an injury and won a match.
Yeah, and a heel can cheat to win without having to do a roll-up or a DQ or anything like that. You know, you take advantage of something cheaply. A poke to the eye. I mean, anything that leads to that. Or she could beat her clean. And I think we just have to be more willing to do that in wrestling, especially WWE right now. And it will enhance the heels, where I think heels are kind of a weak department for WWE right now. I think they need more heels. So be willing to give them a clean win every now and then. I think that will enhance their equity.
I remember like there was a whiteboard in the writer's room of Workaholics, and it was a list of jokes you are not allowed to write. Like, don't even pitch them. I would put roll up pin more than once every 6 weeks on WWE TV on there. Think of a different move. If you don't know a different move, why are you in the ring? And I know these people know better moves. Cadillac Carson says, should there be any concern about the Rollins faction getting cheered, even wanting Breaker to keep spearing Sammy on Monday night? So I've seen a lot of discourse about this, John. People keep saying, well, when you keep telling everybody it's fake over and over again, yeah, they're going to cheer for the cooler person. Bron Breakker is very hard to boo. That's why I think when he does face Seth, he's going to be the baby face.
100%.
Like, he's got to be. But, I mean, listen, the fact that they care is a good sign.
Yeah.
Apologies. Go ahead.
Just care. That's the most important thing. Do they care? And if they're reacting, then that's something to build off of. And that can help take you in the direction of where this is going. And look, maybe it becomes so undeniable too, Sean, that the crowd's just so behind this guy that they can't take this a year, because the crowd just doesn't want to let it get to a year because they're so behind him. So, man, just as long as they're reacting, it's better than silence.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree, especially because Braun is very clearly next up for them. And Gary Butler says DQ finishes. The IWC complains that people lose and they're buried, complains people win as they are pushed too much. You can't win. Yeah, but those are idiots. Those are dumb people that don't know the definition of buried. Karrion Kross, when he came back with an S&M gimmick and lost in a couple minutes, that was buried. That was buried. Losing a competitive 10-minute match to a person who has held the NXT championship for a very long time, not buried whatsoever. Will women's tag titles just be off TV for months? Somehow it will be better than how they've booked them prior. And I would be inclined to probably assume yes, but I would prefer that they drop those titles before she leaves.
Put more emphasis on the yeah, I don't know. I got nothing on that.
We got Tony P sending a humper chat saying, I was curious about TNA and WWE and their talent. We've all seen the Hendry move. WWE has basically been trying out TNA talent for them to sign. When the Hardys are done with TNA and they get who they want, I wonder how it'll affect business for them. Listen, the Hardys are, and I mean this, a major, major part of the business right now, because every stop they go to, those meet and greets are a big thing, like a big money driver for the Hardys, for TNA. And, you know, it's interesting. AEW's not doing those. WWE's not doing those. Hardys are really in the perfect place for that, where TNA can look at it and say, well, they're justifying doing this, and they're a draw, and they're bringing in more money than they're costing us. It's really working out for all parties.
It's the very best thing about pro wrestling at its core, where pro wrestling offers a very unique opportunity for fans to get to interact with talent in a very intimate way. And not a lot of other industries afford that possibility. You can't go to a Yankee game and expect to meet Aaron Judge after the game. This doesn't happen. So to be able to have a setup like that, it's just so fantastic for fans to be able to get involved. And regardless of whether or not it's the Hardys or other talent, I think it's just so beneficial. And yeah, if TNA loses the Hardys at some point, that's going to be a challenge for them to overcome. But I do know this firsthand. The Hardys love TNA, and they feel very indebted to TNA because TNA was there for both of them through some of the toughest times of their lives. So they definitely have a lot of respect for TNA.
It's one of those relationships you can tell is very mutually beneficial. Again, TNA is paying probably really good money for an act that they are making money on.
Yes.
And that's the type of relationship that you want.
They are getting a return on the Hardys.
Yes. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says WWE mocks AEW. Then every signing this year is ex-AEW. WWE monopoly is so fragile with booking events, same nights now, and the WWE ID garbage. I don't mind the ID thing. Don't care about it. Like, doesn't affect me whatsoever. In fact, a lot of these talent are very fortunate to have that 500 whatever a week, because it means that they don't have to work a day job and can wrestle and can train. No problem with that whatsoever. The running the same shows the same night intentionally, I'm just like, okay, you can do it. It's just corny. It's lame. Like, I see what you're doing, and it's petty, especially considering how, you know, they try to portray themselves as the underdog. Vince always tried to portray them as the underdogs. It was so weird. It's just like, this again?
Not a big fan of the running the same night, but look, it's a business, right? And entities are going to run across each other in any industry. So I understand that side of it too. Yeah, the ID stuff, I had a problem with it initially, but then when you see the fine print and where it's like, hey, if another company wants to sign said talent, WWE then has to make a decision as to whether they want to sign them. So it's not like they can just prospect hog. If Swipe Right is on this ID deal and AEW were to come in wanting to sign them, WWE has to make a decision. Do we want to actually sign them, or do they get to go? So as long as there's that flexibility, I think that's fine.
AEW Chicago, not at Wintrust, now have to rent a car. Is that the suburbs, John?
Where are they running?
Wintrust, I think, is the suburbs.
Wintrust is the small arena that they've been running in Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What? That wasn't the Sears Center, was it?
Let me see where they're running, because I don't have a phone in front of me.
Well, Chris Moore says, what are the chances WWE makes a play to get RJ City in their writer's room after the legendary Tony Storm Mariah May saga? Listen, there are very powerful people that like RJ City there. John, I may have mentioned one to you in the past. Oh,
they're running Now Arena, where...
the former Sears Center.
Yeah, Dwight Hoffman Estates.
Okay. Yeah. I don't like that, but hey, listen, Tony loves that. But RJ could make the jump, but I don't know how well I don't know how their writing styles match up, But I know that RJ has always had a lot of people in WWE that like him an awful lot.
How could you not? I mean, he's such a valuable creative mind wherever he is. And he would be beneficial to whatever organization he's contributing to.
We do have a couple more. John,
don't
I know
tell
you
him
had
I was nice to him.
Yeah. I know you had about an hour, so I want to make sure that you get what you get your plugs out there, let people know about what you're doing, the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, your Patreon, among other things.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Having a great time with you here. The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy drops every single Friday. It is, in my opinion, a very strong contributor in the professional wrestling space for quality professional wrestling talk from a legend who I think is very fair in how he talks about things every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. Love doing that show. You've contributed to the show before, so I appreciate that. And yeah, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com. That's where you can sign up. We have an awesome Discord. We do Q&As. We do tape studies, preview shows, review shows. It's super, super fun. I encourage people to just give it a shot. We got several members of this chat who are members of that as well. Lots of synergy between Fightful and that entity as well. And yes, if you're in the New York City area, you can catch me on SNY Television, home of the New York Mets, which I had a friend who was in Orlando the other day, and they're at Dave and Buster's, and I'm just on TV in Orlando still. So it's kind of weird. I don't know where they're pulling that from, but yeah, man, I love doing that. So appreciate all that. And yeah, man, happy to chat with you whenever.
We have one from Meet Normus. It's just a blank Humper chat. So I just assume he likes us. BL says, who will have the more influential and carry on the name family career when they retire, Dominic Braun or Charlotte? I mean, I think Charlotte's pretty well accurately reflected Ric Flair in the championship reigns.
Yeah.
I think Braun Breaker's ceiling is higher. I think it's higher than Scott's, honestly. I think that he's going to be good for a long time. Dominic is so different than Ray. I think he is the one guy, John, that can get away with them completely recycling a gimmick, and it is Eddie Guerrero's gimmick.
I mean, if you watch him, how do you not see what they did with Eddie Guerrero in everything he does? The question is, does he have a world champion ceiling like Eddie Guerrero had?
Yeah, I mean, listen, people are going to love him. They are going to really love to love him. He is phenomenal. And he's so funny. The Logan Paul interview, asking Logan Paul why he wasn't on the Japan tour. Phenomenal, this guy. Pat says definitely not based on, but let's say the one, I think Braun stands the bigger chance of exceeding his family's 100%. Legacy.
100%. Yes. But Charlotte is going to be the biggest star of all those.
Yes. I think Charlotte comes the closest to like matching in a lot of ways. The accolades. Listen, I'll do, and this isn't a shot at Charlotte. She's never going to be as known as Ric Flair, and that's not a bad thing. No. But also, she is not like living in the shadow of Ric Flair either.
There are going to be a lot of young wrestlers in the future who grew up wanting to become wrestlers because of Charlotte Flair.
There you go. Definitely not based on having watched Dark Side of the Ring. What are your thoughts on Eddie Gilbert? Surprised he's not in the WWE Hall of Fame already. So he is a guy who probably had a, not probably, he had a way higher ceiling than he ever reached.
Yep.
I mean, the whole family, to be honest with you, Doug Gilbert had a higher ceiling. And I mean, I know that they brought him in for like a cup of coffee. I think he did the 96 Rumble, Doug Gilbert did. But Eddie Gilbert's a guy that should have been a, like him and Gino Hernandez, a Magnum TA, although Magnum, you know, fortunately still with us, three that should have been really, really big stars in wrestling in that 10-year period. And just, we lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Bruce Pritchard's told a lot of great stories about Eddie Gilbert on his podcast over the years. And I encourage people to check that out. And yeah, I haven't had a chance to see the Dark Side of the Ring yet, but I definitely am intrigued to see that.
Yeah. I'm going to binge watch the series very soon, but I'm excited for the Muhammad Hassan one because that one's so closely tied to my career. I might hit him up for an interview again soon, but guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining me again. I want to apologize. My allergies have been killing me the last few days, but I will be here for tonight's post AEW show. I want to say thank you to all of you that tuned in. I want to thank John Alba for joining me. These shows are always so good. And I like that we were able to provide some insight on a couple of big scoops that we sort of worked together on.
We should do long form on that, because that would be pretty fun to get some insight on that.
If you all are interested in that type of stuff, I think almost every match that I've done, like whether it be with Shaza, the Denise spot, anything like that, we've done long forms on those. I did a long form on Fightful Select about breaking the CM Punk news. You can go over there and check that out as well. But leave a thumbs up. Check out some of our new videos. We have one on WCW Backstage Assault, the video game. We have a bunch of new shorts, all that good stuff. Until next time, my friends, we're out.